in the four Gospels in your Bible, as well as in the writings, in the epistles, you will find that there is a great degree of emphasis upon the Saviour's birth. Not only were the Gospel writers and those who wrote the epistles giving us details of the Saviour's birth, but in secular history, there is evidence from independent witnesses regarding what happened concerning the birth of Christ so long ago. But in this particular epistle in 1 John, perhaps some of you are aware that one of the words that keeps coming up through the chapters very often is the word know, that we may know. We find it time and time again. It is frequently used. And folks, many on this Christmas Eve Sunday in Northern Ireland and much further afield will be in the category of people who know and are aware that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and are also conscious of the fact that Christians everywhere at this particular time of the year sing about and preach about that time when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. There are so many who know that he come. But among that great number who know that he come, it seems that there are a huge number who cannot really seem to grasp the purpose, or should I say, the true and main purpose of his coming. And when we consider that tonight, as we're going to do, the purpose of his coming, that makes the incarnation of Christ very personal regarding you and me. And I want to look with you tonight at some words that are found in this first epistle of John. It's a word that comes up several times. It's the word manifested. You will see it, and we'll be looking at it here tonight. And the title of the message simply is, He Was Manifested. I would like you to notice, first of all, that there is healing associated with him being manifested. If you look over there in 1 John and chapter 3, you will see that it says there in verse 5, and ye know, there's that word know that comes up so often, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Not only do the words in that verse show him to be the only one who was qualified to do that, because in him was no sin, but it shows us there that he was manifested to take away our sins. The essential purpose of the incarnation was to deal at Calvary with your biggest problem and mine, and that was the disease of sin. Sin that is so often referred to in the Bible as a disease, and very often it's compared with leprosy. We don't know everything about leprosy, but all of us, I'm sure, know something. We know that leprosy, when you first are aware of it, it is not prominent in your skin, but it is most definitely present. It is not prominent, but it is most definitely present. Eventually, leprosy will affect the whole body. And as time goes on, leprosy leaves our fingers, etc., with no feeling. And then eventually, leprosy kills. And what a very clear picture of the disease of sin. May not seem to be prominent to begin with, but it's definitely there. It is something that affects us in every area of our life, and as we go through life, we become more and more aware of its awful power. But also with so many of us, it leaves us hardened and without feeling. And then just as leprosy eventually kills the body physically, the Bible says that sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. And folks, what we need is healing. What we need is healing, and I don't have time this evening to turn to all the scriptures that would be relevant, but I want you to think, first of all, of the word individual, and look at me there in Malachi. In chapter 4, it says there in verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise." I might add that this, of course, can only refer to Christ. "Shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." It is individual. And men and women, I wonder, have you been searching? And maybe you're not foolish enough to go and look to some other individual. But whatever you have done, you have stopped short of getting to him. To the individual here with the healing in his wings. I think I told the story here in the congregation before about some years ago, myself and another man, we were coming from a meeting, Dungannon Church, and we were stopped. So a good while ago now, we were stopped by the security forces. They were doing a patrol. And began to talk to him, and he said, "Where were you?" And we said, "We were over at a prayer meeting." And he says, "Oh, that's grand." He says, I'm a Christian too. And I actually was, I didn't mean anything arrogant or to try to be get an argument or anything, but I said, "That's great. When were you saved?" And then he stood away back, and he says, "Now you and me might differ a wee bit on that." I says, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "But what do you mean by saved?" And we get into this conversation. And while there was much that could be said about that man, and folks, I want to say to you at that time that he was relying very heavily on what he did believe because of his dangerous job. But there was a man, and he stopped short of getting to the individual. He had never come to Christ. And folks, if we ever are to have this sin question dealt with, this disease of our soul dealt with, it will have to be when we come to him, to the individual, the one with healing in his wings. But I want to mention something else to you, keeping in this context of healing. There's not just the thought of the individual, but there is the instrument. Let's look together over in Psalm 107, Psalm 107 and verse 20. Well, it shows us there in verse 17. In fact, we could even go further than that and go way back, and it says in verse 11 of Psalm 107, "Because they rebelled against the words of God." When that happens, you're in trouble right away, men and women, because we're going to get now to the importance of his word. It says there in verse 17, "Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted." Men and women, I wonder, do you see tonight the awfulness of sin? Because when you look here at what it says, "Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities are afflicted," the thought here is that they can't see it. And in that way, they're a fool because they don't see the heinousness of sin, of their transgressions and iniquities. And if you look on down there, you will see where it says that in verse 18, "Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw nigh near unto the gates of death." As you look at that tonight, do you see urgency? There's so many people that we're speaking with today, and there doesn't seem to be urgency. It's almost as though the Christianity that you preach about and talk about, that it's a kind of a pastime or something that you might want to add on to your lifestyle and make it fit in with what you imagined you like to believe. But the verse here shows us clearly that there is great urgency regarding everyone that is out of Christ, because in truth they draw near to the gates of death. Pointed unto man wants to die. So the Bible says, and Job said regarding all men, he said, in a moment they shall die. But if you look there also, you will see the answer. It says in verse 20 of the Psalm 107, he sent his word and healed them. You see that? He sent his word and healed them from their destructions. That is the instrument that God uses. The individual is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one with healing in his wing. The instruments that he uses, and it couldn't be any clearer than it is here, that he sent his word and healed them, is his word. And I feel I'm being honest when I say that you've heard it more than once. And you've heard Christ uplifted. You've heard sin exposed. You've heard the call for personal repentance unto life. 2023, the clock is ticking. It's nearly gone. And I wonder what you've done with all of that knowledge that you had. We're looking here at him being manifested, something that many, many people are thinking about just at this time of the year. Manifested, and there's healing associated with that. That's what we read in chapter 3 and verse 5. There's the individual, there's the instrument, but I want to look then at the imperative. If you look with me there in Isaiah chapter 6, it says there in verse 10, make the heart of this people faint, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. So brethren and sisters, men and women, when you see with your eyes, and you hear with your ears, and you understand with your heart, it says here, and convert and be healed. So you can see the process here. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is manifested. He's the individual with healing in his wings. It is his word that God uses to speak to our hearts. But the imperative for you tonight is that you must turn. Because that is what the verse 10 here in Isaiah chapter 6 implies. It says that lest they be converted. That's really what it's saying. And be healed. And I wonder if you thought much about that as we thought of all the other things coming up to Christmas time. Remember whenever we were in Yorkshire, down in Bridlington, place down the back of where the church was, and I used to go there quite often, sometimes with another man, sometimes just by myself, giving out tracts, knocking the doors, talking to people. It was a very needy area. Came to this door, and a lady come to the door, and she was, I just used the word broken, and without going into details about her, because no wish to do that, but listen to what she had to say. And everything in her life regarding her relationship in the home, the marital home, regarding her relationship with her children, regarding her relationship with everyone else, regarding how it was in her life in general, everything had just fallen apart. Now, as I said, I'm not going to go into detail. There's a lot of reason for it. It's called sin. But the reason that I'm saying this to you is that I spoke with her at length and explained to her just what I'm explaining to everyone that's listening tonight. Really pleasant. More than willing to listen. But then we got to the point where we said, now, you know what I have said to you, but I said, you need to turn. You need to do that. And you must repent yourself. And that was as far as it went. And so it is with so many. So many that we've known through 2023, when it comes to the turning from their sin, men and women refuse to do that. I trust you'll not refuse tonight. But on this last Sunday evening of this year, as we last before Christmas, as we think of the incarnation and we think of what it says there in 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 5, that he was manifested to take away our sins. That is the healing that you need. But not only is there healing associated here with this manifestation, I want to say secondly that heaven's power is also manifested. In chapter 3 here, in 1 John and verse 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. That's the word we wanted to get you to. That he might destroy the works of the devil. You look around you. You don't have to look very far to see evidence of the devil's work. When sin came in, sickness came in with it. And so did sorrow and wickedness and hearts that currently are in the dark. And folks, I don't think anyone here will argue with me when I say that the devil has been and still is very busy. We're there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2. Just read to you quickly what it says. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 14, it says there, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, that is Christ, partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And you may well ask the question and say, yes, that verse 14 refers to his incarnation, when it shows that he likewise took part of the same, became flesh and blood. But what does it mean that he destroyed the power of the devil when we see all around us evidence that the devil is very busy indeed? Well, the verse that I read to you just before this about that him destroying the power of the devil, it means to take cohesion out of all that the devil does. We'll not deny that the devil has a grip on this, so many in this world. But it means to take cohesion or to render powerless regarding holding together. That's what the word means. All that the devil does and is. Destroy the works of the devil. To break up or to loosen or to take cohesion out of his operation. Again, we preach, it's all we can do. We do our best, and it's not much. We leave the rest with the Lord. And we trust that He will come to hearts tonight that have been gripped for so long. And people that have been held throughout almost another year. And that regarding maybe even you tonight, that the Lord will take cohesion out of that grip that sin has upon you. Because it shows us here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. That's why he was manifested. And it's heaven's power. So we first of all looked at the need of healing. And there may be people who are thinking, well, I'm just in too much of a state for that. Well, it's not your power that is brought into the equation here. It's the power of the Lord. There's a lovely illustration in John's Gospel, and it's chapter 10, I think. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Yes, in verse 10, the context here is of stealing. It saith, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then it says, I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, if you look and tie that in with verse 9, which we have to do, the Lord Jesus said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, you see there It says shall go in and out. It suggests in a very bold way in the original security and liberty. And that is what you find in Christ. When sin's power is broken, you find security in him, but also liberty. Because if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Would the truth be tonight that you intended to be saved before now? In your own heart of hearts, you intended to be saved before now. But you're not. Is that not an indication that the devil that we've just mentioned, that he has a greater grip than you imagine? And only heaven's power manifested can deal with that grip in your life. Again, we come to this point. If there is going to be a change, and anyone who's still out of Christ tonight is to find freedom in Christ, there has to be that repentance unto life. Again, you may have heard the story of someone who was in prison on death row in America. I think it was during the early 70s. I'm not sure what they had done, but there was some little bit of ambiguity regarding some of the evidence and so on. But the person had been sentenced to death, but it turned out that the person who had been sentenced was convinced themselves that they were guilty. But there was always this question mark hanging over it in the minds of some, so much so that whoever had the power to do such, they offered a pardon to him. And they actually brought the pardon down into the prison cell, and they said, here is your pardon, such and such a person has given you a pardon. He wouldn't take it. And he said, no, I'm guilty. And I'm going just to take what's coming to me. There was also some other issues regarding mental health. So that's another reason why there's a little bit of question mark as to whether he was guilty or not. But he would not receive the pardon. And folks, because he would not receive the pardon, people were a little bit distressed, and they looked into it for a day or two, and they discovered from the law books that if he would not receive the pardon, then judgment must be carried out. And when the time come, and he would not receive the pardon at all, he was executed. And what an illustration. Pardon is offered tonight to all who will come. And the truth of the matter is, there's no question about our guilt, because we are guilty. But pardon is still offered. But folks, you still must come. You still must come. So he was manifested. There was healing associated with his manifestation. Heaven's power is associated with his manifestation. But finally, hope is associated with this manifestation. Let's go to 1 John again, and chapter 4. 1 John and chapter 4, read verse 9 and 10. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Hope manifested, men and women, it is through him. And here's a verse that shows us, one of the verses that shows us that God loves the sinner. And I just want, as we bring our meeting to a close, to say to you, as we consider hope manifested, consider three looks. Just very briefly, look back, even if you want to look back just on this year that is almost gone. What has sin done for you that is positive? What has it done to merit you holding on to it? Many of you know that I was a coal man before I got called into the ministry. I remember talking to a man one time. He came over to where I was, around Dungannon area. And I knew him, and he said to me, you know, he says, drank the money the wife gave me to go to the shop. And he says, would you possibly be able to give me £2? He said, I can't go home without a loaf. So I gave him £2. I could give him more than that. But I remember standing there really thinking, how awful. How awful. Do we really understand the sinfulness of sin? Made a complete mess of his life that he had to come and ask for £2 to get a loaf so that he could go home. Because the money that he had been going with, he drank it on the way there. But when you look back, what has sin done for you that is positive? Take another look. Look ahead. Indisputable fact. We will all give account unto God. And that's, you can draw a line under that. That's something that's ahead. Look back, look ahead. But I want to say to you now, would you not look up? Look up to him who we're celebrating at this time of the year. Look up to him who we've just read about, who has manifested to take away our sin. Look up to him who was manifested and it showed the love of God toward us. Look up to him tonight and be delivered from your sins.